cry out to you. You know, some of you were singing Yeshua over and over and over and over again, and you had no idea what you were saying. None. You thought Bree was just up here talking about Yeshua. You looked down to see if it was untied. It's the Hebrew word for Jesus, his name. And when it's broke down, it literally means salvation and deliverance. His name saved you. His name delivered you. Just his name. Just his name. Just crying out his name will save you. Just crying out his name will deliver you from what? A life without him. A life and an eternity separated from him. Not only do you get a promise of eternity with him, but you get to walk in the promise now of heaven on earth. I don't know if I'm experiencing that. We're believing that you could start walking in it. And we're going to talk about it a little bit today. We're going to continue our little mini series entitled Stewardship. Guess what we're talking about again today? Money. Man, Chuck sitting in the front row. Guess what? I don't want you to sit down yet. We're trying to trick your muscles a little bit. Guess what the enemy does every time to a pastor the weeks leading up to talking about money? People are going to get mad. They're going to get frustrated. God, you can sit down. You're good. They're going to get mad. They're going to get frustrated. It's not going to move people forward. That's what the lies that a pastor hears every single time. Leading up to last week's message. Guess what happened last week? People gave their life to Jesus. Guess what happened last week after the message? I'm walking into a store and somebody came up to me, somebody that I would have never imagined, and said, Pastor, I've been living my life different because of last week's message. I'm like, tell me what you mean. What do you mean? And they're like, I never understood that I'm going to stand before God and give an account for my time, my talent, my treasure. Every single morning, I've been waking up and I've been thinking about my time, my talent, my treasure. Then, Thursday night, young man comes over to my house. He said, I need time with you. I said, absolutely, come on over. I was like, come on, my house is a construction zone right now. There's drywall everywhere. And come on over. This young man who, in my mind, I walk with him. I've been in his life. My wife and I are with them. Him and his wife, we've been walking with them. Because of last week's message, he said, Pastor, I've been living a lie. 2 years. I've been living a lie. I need to give my life fully to Jesus. No, he hasn't been living in sin. He hasn't been doing it. His identity was wrapped up in the world and his vocation and what he did instead of what Jesus had already done. Amen. He said, I need to start walking different. All because of a message on money. So listen, today's message is going to be real nuts and bolts. There was lots of Home Depot employees during the first worship experience. They're like, yeah, nuts and bolts. But I believe that this message has really literally nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with the kingdom and your heart and how you're going to walk it out. Because God can and will use every message to draw people closer to him. It's all about how you receive it and then what you do with it. 2 Timothy 2:2 will always be what we're walking out. Take what you've heard and seen me do in front of many witnesses and then pass it on to other like-minded people. It's the vision of the church from 40 plus years ago, and it's still being walked out today. Still, in so many different facets and ways. You may be wondering, why in the world does Pastor Nick have a Montreal Canadiens jersey on? I'll explain it a little bit more later, but it started last year. Two guys showed up with jerseys on. I was like, what are you doing? They're like, we're trying to kick this off. We're trying to get people to wear some hockey jerseys on a Sunday when the hockey season kicks off. I was like, that's pretty cool. I want to be a part next year. So guess what they did? They invited me to be a part. And we got like 10 people this year. Next year, guess what? Everybody that complained they weren't a part this year did the same thing I did last year, complained. We'll do the same thing. We're going to grow it. Okay? But I'll explain to you why I got peace and direction and permission from God a little bit later on why I have this on. You cool with that? All right. Let's officially pray. Father God, I thank you so much for what you've already done. God, I stand before you with great expectation and humility for what you have planned to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians, our verse that we're going to kick off with today. And I want you to understand that whenever we are, or 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 4, 1 and 2, whenever we understand what we're walking in and how we're to walk and how we're to maneuver ourselves, things change. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. What does faithful truly mean? It means trustworthy, persuaded, to believe. When you are faithful in something, it not only is to move you forward, it is to move others forward. Your faith should be seen by others and encourage and equip and empower others to know that they can get through it. Your faith should become like a pillar that others can lean on. A true pillar in the faith. Now listen, I've been around some real pillars physically and I've leaned on them. You ever seen a real pillar? Like you leaned on, that thing ain't moving. I also learned as a young child that there are such things as faux pillars. You know that? Did you know there's fake pillars out there in the world that you can't lean on, they'll fall over? None of you knew this. I learned this as a child. Leaned on one. Thing fell over. It folded. Folded. My parents bought a pillar for the family that had a fake one in front of their house. Why am I telling you this? Because today's message is going to encourage you to get around a pillar if you need it and lean on it. Here we go. I'm going to give you an example. I'm a visual learner. This is a solid steel-framed building. These are the only two pillars in this building. There's two more on the other side. They're supporting the third floor. The third floor was built after this building was constructed. There's no other pillars in this whole entire building except for these two and the other two on the other side. They're real. I can stand here all day. This pillar's not going anywhere. Neither's that one. There are some people within this church that are just like these pillars. Strong in the faith. immovable. Whatever storm you're going through, it's not going to shake them. This thing is legit. The people that we're going to encourage you to get around are legit. They're not faux pillars. They're not going to fall over. They're not going to falter. Stewardship, understanding it, is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Listen, we believe here at Bridge City Church that we want people gathered in. We want people to begin to grow. We want people to begin to give. Then we want you to go into your world. And then we want you to sit back and watch God get glory for all that he's doing in your life and in the lives of others. We want you to get G'd up. Gather, grow, give, go, all for the glory of God. It's simple. That message changed my life and will continue to change the lives of others. We don't want you to be here so you can fulfill a vision. We want you to become a part so the vision can fulfill you. Big difference. Big, big difference. So, I told you today's going to be nuts and bolts. It's going to be real practical. And it's because once a year, we usually have a message series that's about money. I'll talk to you why. But today, in stewardship, we're going to talk about, seriously, making a budget. Really nuts and bolts stuff. And telling your money where to go. Paying off debt, saving for the future, and giving generously. Understanding how to get there. Understanding that stewardship is truly lordship. If you understand stewardship, you understand lordship. You understand that he is Lord of everything in your life. He's the boss. What he says goes. There's no question. There's no doubt. There's yes. And then you ask questions. Then you can walk it out. Then you can wonder. That's where faith kicks in. This includes every area of your life, your time, your talent, your treasure. Every single area, it's all his. This biblical stewardship is us understanding that being responsible for something that doesn't belong to you. Listen, if somebody lends me their car's getting given back to them better than they gave it to me. That thing's going to be waxed up, shined up, air in the tires, gas in it. Except for Enterprise, because I paid for that. I mean, that thing's going to get, I'm going to put gas in it because they're not charging me $8 a gallon for gas. But I'm not going to wax it. I'm just telling you. But if one of you lend me your car, wax. Now, don't go, hey, I want to lend you my car. I would like to lend you my vehicle. Some of you started thinking it. Like, I need my car detailed. One of the most relaxing things for me is to wash a car. I love washing cars. I love it. It's really relaxing. So if you need your car washed, bring it over. I'll wash it. I'm sorry, Rach. Everybody's going to be showing up like, Pastor Nick, I heard that he was washing cars this week. Listen, we're going to give an account to God for the stuff that he has gave us to manage. We're going to give an account. Now, in times of uncertainty, it's vital that we focus on things that are true. Now, I know that there are people in this room right now that you're going through some uncertain times. I know that for a fact. But whenever you're going through uncertain times, the enemy wants you to focus on all the things that are unclear, all the things that you don't know, all the things that you can't control or will never be able to control. But in times of uncertainty, I want you to focus on some facts. I want you to focus on things that aren't going to change. Ace, here's your time to shine. You want to know my favorite subject in school? No, you always scream lunch. Every time I've said it, you've screamed, "Lon Chase, you folded. You folded." It's always history. History never changed. They couldn't change the answer in the book. They really couldn't. They wouldn't change the history books. Once they were printed, the answer was in there. So here we go. Let's talk about some biblical facts. There's more than 500 verses on prayer. There's more than 500 verses on faith. Here's a fact. There's more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Why are they taking 3 weeks and talking about money? Because more than 15% of Jesus' teachings were pertaining to money. And we're followers of Jesus. So there's 52 weeks in the year, 52 Sundays. We're going to take 3-4 of them and teach on the teachings of Jesus. Rob, what's the math? What's 4 out of 52? What's the percentage? Yeah. Anyone? 13%. So we're just shy of what Jesus did. So that means we reserve the right to do another one if we wanted to. Listen, some principles, some stewardship principles. Really simple, nuts and bolts. List your income and expenses. Start there. Let's get simple. Subtract your expenses from your income. We're talking simple math here. Track your transactions. Here we go. You having trouble with this? Walk into the bank and ask them for a registry book. Watch their face. What? You want one of those? Yes, I would like a registry book. I would like to track my transactions on my own and not trust you to do it. And then they will walk back to the back and ask where those are stored. And then they will come out and they'll go, seriously, they don't live different. Make a new budget before the new month begins. Why? Because a new month means new stuff. Every month is different. I think in our family, we only have 1 month that doesn't have any birthdays. It's a great month. It's a really good month. Somebody's going to mess around in our family and fill that month. I know it. I just know it. It's going to happen. It's a good month. We've had petitions to move my birthday to a different month because it's the day after Christmas. But listen, November, Thanksgiving's going to happen. Every year, guess what's going to increase? Your grocery budget. How does he know that? Because I'm kind, I'm smart, and I'm important. I tell myself that every day. Rachel just shakes her head at me a majority of the day. Christmas is coming next month. And I'm going to give you insider information. It's going to happen next year, too. December 2025, Christmas is coming. So guess what? Your budget's going to increase. It's going to happen. We are either controlling our money or our money is controlling us. One or the other. The things that trap us, that control us, that surprise us, that we give the enemy way more credit for, if we would just plan a little bit, it won't shock us. The enemy did not put a nail in the middle of the tire, in the middle of the road and give you a flat tire. He wasn't planning like, I'm going to get them today. Next year, your car registration is going to happen. It's going to happen. You have to register your car every single year. Plan for it. you're probably going to have to renew your car insurance. It happens. Shop your rates. It happens. Go back and forth and back and forth. I'm just telling you. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching way better than you respond. I'm just kidding. Luke 16, verse 10. Red letters, Jesus' words here. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little also will be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? What are these true riches that are being spoken about here? Joy, contentment with who and where you are in life. To know the love of Jesus and his provision and his protection and his peace. Listen, the world will lie to you and try to get you confused with what contentment is. And try to get you to think that being content is you being stuck. Contentment isn't you being stuck. That's complacency. And Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to be complacent. Jesus died on the cross for you to be content in who he created you to be through him. And then move forward and walk in that. Joy is a gift. And once you're given a gift, it's yours. Once you truly receive a gift, it is yours. I am a relatively joyful person a majority of the time, like a mass majority of the time. You can ask Rachel, I am not happy all the time. Rachel, say amen for the people. Say it louder. She said amen in the front row. I am not happy all the time. Happy is an emotion. Happy is something that so many people are chasing after. Happy will lie to you. Because I'm happy all the... No, you're not. You recorded that song and then you probably were all mad driving home in your Maybach. Sorry. Listen, joy is a gift. Rachel needs coffee in the morning to be joyful. Then Jesus time. Walk in the joy that God gave you. Walk in it. Walk in knowing who he is and his provision and what he's going to provide. Not for every one of your wants, but your needs. He's a parent. Did your parents give you everything you wanted? No, but they gave you everything you needed. Listen, our ability to bring our money under control is part of our spiritual development. And listen, usually it's the last part of your development. God knows it takes years. God knows that. For some people, it's early on. But most of the time, it takes time. And he knows you're worth it. And he knows that he needs to put some people around you to encourage you and empower you and equip you. Verse 12, and if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Faithful with another man's. Whose is it? It's his. How's he going to give you more if you haven't been faithful with what he's already given you? Managing it well. Using it not only for yourself, but for others. Luke 16, 13. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't do it. Listen, does your money work for you or do you work for it? Let me put it another way. Do you wake up in the morning just to make money, or do you wake up in the morning to bring God glory? Switch in perspective. Whatever your vocation is, does that define you? Or does your vocation pay you so that you could be a minister of the good news? Huh. I'm gonna pick on Tom Sullivan. I'm not picking on you. I'm just gonna use you as an example because I know you would give me permission to do so. And Rachel's like, thank God. Woo! I wanna switch your perspective. Hi, I'm Tom Sullivan. I'm a real estate agent. No, I'm Tom Sullivan. I'm a son of God who gets the opportunity to sell houses. I'm Tom Sullivan, a minister of the good news who gets the opportunity to see people purchase their homes, and I get to be a part of it. Listen, for many years, I was quad vocational. It means I had four jobs. Then I had three, now I only have two. One day in Jesus' name, I'm gonna have one. But I get to be out in the world, and everything that I do is based around the good news. I'm looking for an opportunity everywhere I'm at to show his glory and honor the King. Now, money is a good thing that is a result of that hard work. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's not the motivation. So I ask again, does your money work for you, or are you working for it? Listen, budgeting and this help that we're trying to encourage you to, there are still spots available to sit down with one of those pillars I talked about. Remember, I was leaning on one? Now, I'm not going to set you up with the time to sit down with this steel pillar. It's going to be a physical person or couple that you're going to sit down with. But if you're not ready to sit down with a real person, sit down and be honest with yourself. The cash flow budgeting sheets are going to pop up behind me. If you'd like a physical copy, you can go to the connection point. If you'd like a digital copy to you print out on your own, you can scan the QR code. But get real with yourself. Start making your money work for you instead of you just working for it. Tell your money where to go. Write out a plan. Write out a budget. Zig Ziglar said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. John Maxwell, a budget is just you telling your money where to go. Two very, very brilliant men. Google their names, buy their books, read them. Great books on leadership. You're like, I'm not a leader. Become one. You lead yourself. You lead your home. You lead your family. So many people say to me, I don't like government. I'm not in government. I'll never be in government. Yes, you are. Each and every one of you are. The highest form of government is self-government. Time to start walking in who God elected you to govern your life and manage the affairs that he put before you. Write that down, because I didn't. It wasn't in my notes. It's a good one. I'm going to go back and listen to the recording. He chose you. He died on the cross for you and me and people that have yet to walk into his kingdom, because you were worth it. He planned for you. He wrote you into the plan. You were on the budget sheet. You were a line item. Listen, you will never solve the problem that you can't see. And you deserve what you tolerate. If every single year Christmas sneaks up on you, you're tolerating the problem. Start saving in January for December. That's hard, Pastor. I know. Whatever's worth doing is hard. We deserve what we tolerate. We will never solve a problem we can't see. Listen, I want you to understand, and before we change to the next slide, Zach, so many times we think that the most common problems of overspending are these big, grandiose things. These big, grandiose things, the car purchases or house purchases or huge expenses, and they're not. They're not. Overspending and budget-breaking purchases are these small things added up over time. Let's look at this list. Eating out tops the list. I don't like to cook. Nobody said you had to cook. Peanut butter and jellies are great cold. But Uber Eats is so easy. Uber Eats ruined a lot of people's lives. DoorDash is better. They're horrible. Horrible. Not just because of how much. Listen, here's my Uber Eats and DoorDash story. I had just got out of the hospital, and I wanted nothing more than Buffalo Wild Wings because I knew that it was half price Tuesday or Thursday. Okay, because you got bone-in wings for half price. I had a gift card, numerous gift cards for DoorDash. And I wanted to order wings. Rachel's like, babe, just order them. You've wanted them for months. Just order them. I was like, okay. So they were half price, so I knew that we were getting all these wings, and I put it into the app. And you couldn't get the half-price wings unless you ordered through Buffalo Wild Wings app. It was astronomical how much it cost. I still had a gift card that would have covered the whole thing. I wouldn't do it just on principle and principle alone. I was like, I'm not doing it. I was so angry. I was like, I'm going to show them. I called Poston. I told him. He's like, you want me to go pick him up? I was like, no, I'm not doing it. He's like, just do it. I was like, no, I will not. Subscription to TV services. You know how many of us in this room, I say us, canceled cable and told Xfinity and Fios, all of them, to kick rocks. Because cable got so high, right? Get out of here. Kick rocks. I'm done with you. Woo! Right? And then you went and got Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus, Paramount, all of them. And you're paying way more than you ever did for cable. And Xfinity and Fios are sitting back like, got them. Because they got their hand in that cookie jar. They're making more money now than they did when you just had cable. Online purchasing. Oh, it's so nice having two-day shipping. Amazon's so sweet. So nice. Oh, it's so nice getting groceries delivered. Aldi's so nice for letting me do a pickup. You know how much more a pickup is at Aldi than going in the store and getting your own groceries? Each item, we priced it, is almost a dollar more. There's an Aldi employee sitting in the front row like. I looked at Rachel one day. I was like, babe, you know that they're all, it's almost a dollar more? I was like, babe, I'm going in the store. Seriously, you get like 20 things. That's $20 more every trip. You're like, is he lying? I'm not. Check me. It's between 50 cents and a dollar more per item. They sneak it in on you. You don't even know. And they do it on the little things. And that's an online purchase. Go into the store. Make a plan. But it's so easy, Pastor. Whatever's worth doing is hard. Emotional purchases. This is where I promised you that I told you I was going to give you some more information on the hockey jersey. Where I got permission and released to wear it today. Because I really prayed about it. And next time we do the jersey, where's everybody at that had? They all left. There was way more here for the first worship experience. Host is in the back. It was 4 a.m. I was in the hospital for like 6 or 7 days, and they had just released the new Pittsburgh Penguin jerseys, the one that say Pittsburgh across the chest, and I was feeling real sorry for myself. Woe is me. I deserve this, and I ordered one. And not just a regular one, like an authentic one. I don't want like that iron-on stuff, right? I ordered it. And then I stayed up the rest of the night until I could call and cancel the order. Because I didn't make a plan. I made an emotional response. And I'll get back to that a little bit later. Here we go, celebration purchases. I deserve this. I deserve that. You know who you don't see making celebration purchases? Rich people. Oh, he's right. I know. Listen, additional things to budget for. You want to go on vacation? Plan for it. Be purposeful. Start an envelope. What's an envelope? That little thing that you put money in, and then once it's full, you take that money and you do what you planned for. That sounds smart. Yeah, one of those pillars taught me that. Christmas. Major purchases. Listen, you have a car? Anybody have a car? Okay. That car is going to need tires. I don't want to shock you. But when you put your tires on the road and you move them over and over again, they wear out. If you don't rotate them, you're not going to get as many miles as you could. Like, I never rotate my tires. Well, you're not being a good steward of what God gave you. Remember I told you, nuts and bolts. Nuts and bolts. My engine's going bad on my car. When's the last time you changed the oil? I don't know. I can't afford an oil change. Learn how to change the oil. I don't want it to get dirty. Listen, whatever's worth doing is hard. It's not easy. It's not hard to change oil. It really isn't. Or get one of these Bridge City students that wants to make a few bucks and teach them how to change the oil. I'm being serious. Valvoline just opened up down the street. I used to send people to Pennzoil all the time. I was their number one fan. They closed up. They sold the business. Valvoline opened up. It used to be like $49.99 for an oil change at Pennzoil. They did 125 cars a day. Valvoline opened up. They're doing between 30 and 40 cars a day. It's $120 for an oil change. Woo! Yeah, that'll make you learn how to change your oil. I'm being serious. One-stop tire shop in Glassport. You got to go down, though. Don't try to call. Just go down. Make an appointment. $120 for an oil change. Listen, 33% of Americans accrue over $1,200 in debt on credit cards for Christmas. Younger families accrue more. Why? Because you think your kids need stuff. I think Lennon needs stuff, but you know what Lennon's favorite thing is? To wake up early and make cinnamon rolls. He loves cinnamon rolls. His favorite thing, go to family's house on Christmas Eve and then go to his great Grammy's on Christmas Day and cinnamon rolls. Now, is he thankful for gifts? Absolutely, 100%. Is it great to see the joy? 100%, absolutely. Does he need it? Nope. Cinnamon rolls. Do cinnamon rolls have sugar? Yep, I love them. if you put $998 on a credit card, paying the minimum amount, it will cost you an extra $498 over the course of paying it off. And that'll take you tons of time. Tons of time. And that's if you have a decent interest rate. The goal is to get here in your budget. Give, save, pay. Give first. That's where you start. To be someone that knows how to save, to knows how to walk that out. To pay yourself. Listen, Proverbs 20, 22, verse 7. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the borrower is slave to the lender. You're locked up. Locked up. I'm looking around to see who's singing Akon in their mind. Nobody, you do. Okay, we got one. Anybody else do it? Nope, just one. I knew Day-Day wouldn't let me down. Listen, you can't defeat what you can't define. You need to define the problem, and then you can win. The Steelers play the Baltimore Ravens today. 1 p.m. at Heinz Field. Don't correct me, it's Heinz Field. Thank you. More and more people are getting comfortable with saying Acrisure, though, so they can say it now. Before, they were like, no. Nah. But listen, the Steelers have prepared. They have planned. They have watched film. Then they went back and they planned more. They prepared more. They watched more film. They're not just going to show up at Heinz Field today like, oh, we're playing the Baltimore Ravens. Look, that's Lamar. It's Lamar Jackson. I think he won the MVP a couple times. I hope we win. That'd be nice if we win, because we're in first place. Yeah. I'd be nice if we stay there. Huh. I didn't know we were playing them. Look, they have new stickers on their helmets. That's pretty cool. I don't like the Ravens, but I didn't know we were playing them. It's a pretty big rivalry. We should have prepared more. We should have planned. Huh. It is what it is. Let's see what happens. No, you can't win unless you define what you're trying to win against. If you're somebody that's already won in this area of your life, you're one of those people that we're having sit down with other people that are trying to define the win. A pillar. Now, planning for the future, saving. That's the goal. We want everybody to get there. But starting with an emergency fund. Dave Ramsey, this is stuff he teaches. Starting with getting $1,000 in an emergency fund. And guess what happens every time you get $1,000 in an emergency fund? There's an emergency. But that emergency doesn't drown you. And then guess what? Next time you get an emergency, you build it up, and you build it up a little more, there's a bigger emergency. Hot water tank goes. Air conditioner needs fixed. Furnace needs fixed. Something. But it's not, you don't sweat it because you're planning. You're going through it. Planning for the future. Listen, there's some 24-year-olds in this room that if this gets from your head to your heart, it can change your life. $100 a month invested into an IRA will get you over $1.1 million with a 12% return. You're like, well, $1 million doesn't go as far as it used to. Well, guess what doesn't go as far as it ever did? Nothing. With just a 10% return, you'll have over $500,000. Well, you know, 500K ain't what it used to be. Guess what's still exactly the same as it always has been? Nothing. At 65, I'd much rather have 500K than 0K. Okay? Whenever the dude walked in, I sold cars. I worked at C. Harper. Casey Harper was he's a great man in a lot of ways. I wish I would have listened to the dude that drove up in the Bentley when I was 20 years old and told me this. I didn't listen. I did not listen to the dude that drove up in the Bentley. Having this understanding can change your life, not just for you, but for the kingdom. Because I believe that God will have you sitting across from the table as a pillar, encouraging, empowering, and equipping somebody one day. Acts 20, verse 35. In all things I've shown you, that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Getting to the point where you're actually putting extra in your budget to give. Why? Because we are wired to give. We're wired to give. There is a response within our body because of the way God made us when we give, not only of our money, but of our time and our talent. There's a reaction within our mind and chemically within our body because of the way God made us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't do it reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Not happy, cheerfully and joyfully. This isn't a fake it till you make it type of thing. This is out of response from the gift that God gave to you. More money will not make you happy. Money will make you more of what you already are. I know some people that by the world standards are really, 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 really rich, and they're miserable people. I know some people that by the world standards are really poor, and they are over and abundantly joyful. Money's not going to change who you are. It will expand it. God created you to be who you are. Money doesn't change that. It amplifies it. Listen, most people are much more concerned with financial security than financial freedom. If I could just get here, if I could just get to this point, if I could just make it a little bit further, there's more month than there is money. We've all heard the quotes. Some of us grew up in them. Financial security isn't the goal. Walking in the freedom that Jesus Christ provides for us and desires for us to live in is the goal. That's the goal. Listen, these principles of stewardship, Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit yourself to the Lord and your plans will be established. Take your emotions and remove them. Remove your emotions. Because there's some people that Listen, this message is making you feel some type of way. Good. Good. It means I'm doing my job. I am called to make you uncomfortable. And if you stick around long enough, I promise I will offend you at some point. Some of you, I offended you today by wearing this jersey. It's okay. I'm a big guy. I'm okay. I can handle it. Next time, you wear one. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Go to Him first. He'll give you a vision. He'll give you a plan. He'll give you a way to walk it out. And then guess what the gift is? Peace. Not happiness. Not more money. Peace. How many of you could have a little bit more peace for Thanksgiving? Yeah. How many of you need a little bit more peace going into the Christmas season? Yeah, 6 of you. Okay. Cool. That's great. Honesty is a great policy. Get a vision, get a plan, implement it, and walk in peace. Like, it's not that simple, Pastor. Consistency over time. It is. It is. I'm telling you. Let's go back to Acts 20, verse 35. It's better give than to receive, but it actually starts with receiving. Because Jesus gave the model of what it's like to give, because He gave up everything for you. He gave up everything for you. He gave up His life, not only on the cross, but even before that. He had it made in heaven. You know, that place with no sickness, no disease, no depression, no anxiety, streets of gold. The best worship concert you could ever imagine all day long, every day, all day. Yeah, He left that and became flesh for you all, for me, so that He could take on the weight of the world. Your sins. My sins. People outside of these walls have yet to come. He gave first. Then He gave up even more. His life on the cross for you and for me. So that you can receive that forgiveness and walk in it. And then show off so that others could receive it. Here's the question. Have you received that gift? Do you have a day, a time, a place where you're walking in that? If you don't, let today be your day, November 17th. 2024, on a message about what you thought was going to be about money. If you don't have a day that you've received what He gave for you, let today be the day that you receive it and just slip your hand up to heaven and say, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time, but I need it. Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus.